Matthew chapter 6, if you will.
Matthew and the 6th chapter. And we're going to come near the end of it in verse number 25. As you're turning, we're going to look at a biblical response to stress this morning. Stress, we deal with it practically on a day-to-day basis or even an hour-to-hour moment. Based on some definitions of stress, stress is a physiological or psychological response to internal or external stressors, which can affect nearly every system of the body and can influence how people feel and behave. Now, this is from the ABA Dictionary of Psychology. It can manifest as emotional tension, worry, or mental strain, and may include physical symptoms such as palpitations, sweating, shortness of breath, or muscle tension. The Cleveland Clinic defines three different kinds of stress. The three different kinds are acute, episodic, acute, and chronic. Acute stress is a short-term stress that arises from immediate challenges like meeting a deadline or avoiding danger. Obviously, those who are in college, those are those deadlines and stresses and all that. I don't miss those one bit. Episodic acute stress is a frequent stress that prevents the body from fully relaxing, often seen in high-pressure professions. So obviously, if you're under pressure all the time, this could be the kind of stress that you would go through on a day-to-day basis. Chronic stress is a long-term stress that persists over weeks or months, potentially leading to physical and mental health problems. While moderate stress can be beneficial, motivating action and improving performance, excessive or prolonged stress can negatively impact health, contributing to conditions such as anxiety, depression, cardiovascular issues, and weakened immunity. So hearing all that, what do we do? How can we look at this from a biblical perspective? Really, if it's too much to handle, of course, if stress is too much, there are medical people who can help with that, and it's encouraged. If you need to use a medication, whatever it is, go ahead and go right on for that. I'm not saying stop it if you're already doing something for that. But on top of that, let me give a spiritual reason for that. Let me go through the Bible with you and let us see how we can handle stress. Most likely, it could be this acute form, maybe being these deadlines or maybe even this episodic acute stress, which is maybe you can't just relax because you're anxious about things coming up or events coming up. Maybe it could just be the things coming on here with the vote at the end of the month and the revival meeting and how can I go to all these things and how can all this happen. And or maybe you even have things that are coming up within your family. I know leading up into giving birth, it's very stressful. And for you guys, it'll be the fourth time, Lord willing. For us, it'll be the third time. And it's like you have to start planning everything and who's going to watch the kids and this and that. And you have your bag and you have your procedures and whatnot. And in our case, we have to go clear that way over to Vassar and whatnot. It's like you're thinking of all these things in your head and you're like, how do you handle that? Or even just job stress, people putting pressure on you. Can you do more? Can you sell this? Can you work harder? Can you, you know, break a leg, literally? Hopefully they don't make you do that. But how do you handle that? And how can we look at it from a biblical perspective here this morning? So today, we're going to discuss one way of how to handle it. So Matthew chapter 5, if you will, come down to verse number 34. Eventually, we'll look at 25 through 34. But let's take a look at verse number 34. As we open the Bible, we're opening up the Word of God, and we're hearing from it. So let's see what He wants us to learn. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I submit to you, now this may not sound great, but stress is going to happen. Stress will occur. So when it comes, know it will come to an end at some point. At some point, whatever it is, it won't give you the anxiety. It won't give you the depression or stuff like that. There is a way to get through it. And we're going to just look at a biblical perspective on how to do that. And of course, I'm not a medical professional. I don't go through the ins and outs, but I am a pastor and I can show you biblically what you could do biblically to be able to help control that this morning. Father, we're thankful for the day you've given to us. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We're thankful for those who are here, those who are viewing on our stream. And I pray, Father, that you just help us to be able to hear your word, that we can understand it, we can grow thereby. And I do pray today that if there's someone in here who doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would know that and understand that for sure. And for those who do know you, may we learn and see what your word can tell us this morning. And we ask these things. And Father, also pray as I preach, help it be clear, help it to be easily understood, and help it to be what you want us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the things we can control. There are things we can control in life. And things that don't stress us as much, or things that could because of things that are going on. So how do we look at that? Verse 25, if you will with me, says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That idea of take no thought means to be anxious or to be careful. So don't be anxious for your life here, in a sense. He's teaching here that life is more valuable than material things. Let's take a look. Take no thought for your life. So don't be anxious what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. You think, well, I have to have this certain meal. I have to have this certain drink. And ask him right here at this moment, at this time. Well, let's carry the thought. Let's continue on. Verse 25. Nor yet for your body, well, what shall ye put on? Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So what's Jesus saying here? This is Jesus speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. What he's basically saying as we come into verse 25, verse 24 talks about serving two masters, and you can't serve two things. You can either serve the Lord or you can serve material possessions here. So Jesus is saying, what's more important, your health or your material possessions? You can't control everything that happens in life, but your life, your physical temple, that's something you need to work with. I mean, you only live one time. And if you're going to put all this burden and stress on you for material things, you're going to weaken yourself physically. And that's not going to be good for your general overall health. So what is Jesus trying to point out here? Well, look at the end of that verse. Is not the life more than meat? Yeah, yes, you have to eat. You do. But you can go multiple days without eating. You can also go a couple of days without having water. But he's saying here that, yes, food's important. Clothes are important. But if you need to take care of your health and yourself, that has priority. Something's going on. You need to take care of that. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So now he's starting to say to us, you know, keep an eye on your health. Don't be anxious on things that you don't know what's going to happen. God's going to give it to you. He's going to provide. And that's what he's going to look at in verses 26 through 30. Your heavenly Father is going to give you the things that you're going to need. When you need it, you got to focus on what you have in the here and now. And what's he saying here? Verse 26, consider the birds. I mean, think about it. Birds, they fly around. Ginger doesn't like them, but they fly around everywhere and hopefully not in her area, but they do sometimes. They don't plan for a meal or they don't get a harvest, yet God gives them their food. I mean, some of us have little bird feeders and we put the feed in there and the bird eats and all that. But God used you to do that, or God finds a way for them to eat. They don't have to think about it. They just fly through the air. They see food. Okay, cool. Let's go down and get food. You know, God makes it at the right point. Verse 27, This may be some of us. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Have you ever wondered if you can be taller? I don't know. Me personally, sometimes I don't like being 6'1". Why? Well, working at a grocery store, you're stocking stuff, and you have the person that says, can you reach that? Why? Because they can't reach that. So you have to reach it. Now, of course, I'm not being cynical, like, oh, short people can't reach anything. Ha ha, bad for you. No. But sometimes you have your advantages. I have mentioned in the parsonage, there are two places I have to duck every single time. When I come down the staircase from the upstairs down to the main floor. Because if I don't, my head hits the wall right there. So I have that much room to duck so that way I don't slam straight into the roof. That's just the way the house was designed. I don't think they anticipate a 6-foot pastor. I don't know. And then coming out of the basement, if I don't literally come out this way, and I come straight upright, after the third step, I'm going to hit my head square on the flooring as I'm walking up toward the main house. And I've done that. And it hurts. So, I mean, can we add more to our height? No. I mean, my daughter has been a little, she's been scared lately because she doesn't want to be as big as daddy. And I tell her, don't worry, you're only 3. You're not going to get to be my height and my build. I would be surprised if she got to 6 foot. And if she did, I'd be very shocked. But you can't control that. You can't control how tall you're going to get. What else? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, that they grow, yea, toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now some people and pastors will take that and say, well, if you're not trusting the Lord for every single thing, you don't have enough faith. Okay, I get the point behind that. I really do. But the thing is that, and the problem is that some of them will get more to, well, you don't have a mental health issue. You just don't have enough faith. I don't see that. What is Jesus trying to tell us here? God is going to provide when he knows that you need it. And how do we know that? Well, we'll look at that in just a couple of the verses here. But again, Jesus points out that we're better than these things. God still provides and gives us things that we need when we need it. Isn't it great to know that there, when there's a need that you have, it's always at that right moment that God places it there? Just even us coming up here to New York, we were thinking, well, we got to sell a house. We got to figure out how to get everything up here. And then financially, how are we going to do that, you know? But the Lord put everything right in the right time, in the right order, in the right frame to get us up here. And we're thankful for that. And then again, it goes with this whole, the Lily and Solomon comparison. God will provide for you when you need it, not when you want it. I think there's a confusion of terms there sometimes. I think some people, when they interpret Philippians 4:19, they say, my God shall supply all your wants or needs, and they put it as a plural. But the verse says, but my God shall supply all your need, singular, according to his riches. That's plural, because God has abundance of riches, but he gives to your need when you need it. Not the needs, not the wants. Now, do we all want better things in life? Absolutely, we probably do. And that's just our flesh speaking. But there are certain things that we would need. And God knows exactly the need that we have, and he'll give it to us when that time is appropriate. Now, would I love to, you know, get a brand new van? Sure, why not? But you know what? I love the van we have. It's a 2019 Dodge Grand Caravan. It works. It's been almost the longest vehicle I've ever had. Thank the Lord, yet there has been no mechanical issues with it. The biggest issue so far, engine-wise or vehicle-wise, was the brakes. And thanks to you, we got them fixed. But other than that, God's helped that vehicle to keep going. Even on all the long trip distances, trips that we've gone on in that vehicle, it still holds it pretty solid together. So I don't need a new vehicle. I would want, but I love what I have now. Beside the fact that our kids have, that was their first vehicle they came home in. So that day that we eventually have to replace that vehicle will probably be very difficult for us. But here's the point. He says God is going to provide. Don't doubt. Don't be anxious. He's going to give it when you need it. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. Here's that take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't just be careful. Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? Don't be stressed. Don't worry about it. God's going to give it to you. Now, of course, those of you who are married, you probably think to your spouse or you talk to them, okay, what's for dinner tonight? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. And we eventually get to some conclusion or whatnot, and we eventually get to whatever it is. Or maybe it's like, okay, let's do this. Okay, let's go ahead and go do that. And then you have whatever is necessary to make. There have been stories I've heard in this idea here of some people not even knowing where their next meal will come from, whether they would have anything more than the clothes in their back. And then God eventually, in his right time, gave that need. So God is saying here, there are certain things that you don't need to stress about. Verse 32. For all those things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Notice at the end of that verse there. It says your heavenly Father knows that ye have what? Need of how many things? And all things would be your food, your clothing, your drink. God knows that need. He knows exactly what you will need when you need it at that point. He will provide when he feels you need it. Not when you want it, when you need it. And he knows. But what does he want us to do before that? Well, I think he wants us to, you know, trust him. Put our faith in him. God knows your need. He'll give it to you at just the right time. We've already mentioned Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be faithful to him, he's saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Huh, what things? Well, maybe the things back in verse 32 and verse 31. Could be that. The food, the clothing, the drink, etc. will be given to you when you need it, when you put him first. That's the idea. Seek ye who first. Not second, not third, not fourth. First. Seek God first. And his goodness and his righteousness. And then these things will come to you. Now, I'm not saying here, if you didn't put God number one, that you're going to be having struggles the rest of your life. I'm just saying it may not be more, you know, advantageous for you if you don't put God first. But based on the text, seek him first, seek who he is, fall in love with him, build a relationship with him. I think a lot of Christians today have this surface level relationship where, you know, here's God, and he's like, you're like a little distant, like you're sitting in that first pew there, and hey, God, how you doing? You're doing great? That's great. But I think what God wants us to do more is literally come in and be intimate with him. You come almost as close as you can. You feel an illustration for a bunch of things. But be as close as you can to almost where you can touch him, and you can know his presence. And that's what God wants us to have, is a relationship with him that has us to be close, as knit as we can with him. And then, when you seek God first, all these things will be added unto you. So then back to where we started, verse number 34. Again, talking about the whole idea, they take therefore no thought for the morrow. So the third time in this passage, he says, take no thought. He continues that from verse 33. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things thereof. You know what? You don't have to worry about tomorrow until tomorrow gets here. Yes, do we have things that we're going to do tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to work. We're going to go do this. There's a project that has to be done. But you know what the beauty of that is? When is it? Tomorrow. Think about tomorrow. What are you going to do today? Think about today. We worship the Lord on Sunday. Hopefully we do it every single day of the year, every day of the week, every day of the year. But since we're in church on Sunday, we can really focus in on that aspect of our life. And again, that's not just a Sunday only thing, a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday 24/7 thing. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the things for tomorrow. Know that God is in control and he'll give that to you at that point. I'm fully aware that anxiety is a real medical symptom. I understand that. And there are people who are on medication for that. I'm not telling you stop it right now because you're sinning. What I'm telling you, and some people will say that, which I don't agree with, but what I'm saying is that the things that we seemingly worry about, God says, I have it under control. Just trust me. The things that you're worrying about, the phrase is, let go and let God. Maybe put that in a little more so. We should prioritize our health when it comes to things that can harm it. Stress and anxiety can cause damage to our health, to our lifestyle, to our way of living. There are things to worry about. And there are things that can that we can just simply give to God. But what happens when you get to a breaking point? What happens when you get to that point where you just don't know how to turn, where to turn? You just don't know how to, you know, get out of this, in a sense. Well, move ahead with me a couple of chapters, if you will, with me. To chapter 11, come down to the very end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Come and rest. When you're extremely anxious, when you're extremely worried, rest. Come and rest. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. You're stressed. You're anxious. You're depressed. Come to him. You take medication, take it. Don't neglect it. But come to him and he will give you rest. Rest here means to refresh, to take ease. There is a time in life where you simply just have to do this. Relax. Rest. Take it easy. I know some places and some cultures, it's a go, 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 go mentality. Well, you can go, 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 go for so long, and then what's going to happen? You're going to break down. What does he say simply? Come and rest. Relax. Refresh. And then, if that's not enough, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. You know, some people think, and I think this is a bad thought too, man, it takes so much work to just live the Christian life. Let's look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Don't stress about the Christian life. Yes, live the Christian life. Do the things that the Bible tells you to do, but it should not be cumbersome. It should not get to the point where you're thinking, oh man, if I don't go to church every single service, God's going to, you know, get after me. And if you can't make it, you know, it's fine. The Lord knows. Yes, would I love for everybody to be in every single service? Absolutely. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, what? There's more chances to preach. There's more chances to fellowship. There's more chances to be around other believers. But I get that the schedules are busy. I get people are going to go places and going to be away. That's understandable. But just keep your relationship with God, number one. That's what he's saying. So, what's he saying again? The yoke here is a wooden beam used to join two oxen for plowing, symbolizing partnership and shared labor. Jesus uses this metaphor to show that following him is not a burdensome obligation, but a cooperative journey which he shares our struggles and guides us with gentleness and care. Learn the humility and servitude of Jesus Christ. It's not burdensome or weary, it's rewarding. Be meek and be humble. Then he says his way is easy and light. It's not stressful and anxious. The Christian, if you are stressing and being anxious in your Christian life, that's not the Christian life. It's to learn of him and be gentle and serve. It shouldn't be stressful, because then it becomes the almost like the Ephesian church that's listed in Revelation 2, where they were so consumed with their service and so focused and narrow-minded, they forgot the reason why they were serving, because they had left their first love. That should never happen to a Christian. And if that does happen, of course, there is ways to restore that. Seek him first. Love him. His way is not anxious. His way is not stressful. So we see the way of Christ is not burdensome. And Christians can make and sound like the Christian life is heavy. Especially Christians who want people to live their style of Christianity and be legalistic about it. Finally, let's apply the teaching about stress. How can we handle it in a biblical way? We've looked at a couple of scriptures already, but how can we really take it home to more of us today? Number one, there have been people in the Bible who were stressed. You're not alone in that. Hannah, in 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I have poured out my soul unto the Lord." Hannah was wanting a child, and she was overburdened with it and anxious about it. But again, the Lord did give her that prayer request of hers. Job, we'll look at him more this evening, but Job in Job 5, verses 6 through 8. "Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." You know, life is going to be full of issues. Life is going to be full of stressors. David in Psalm 6, verses 6 to 7, "I am weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief, or waxeth old because of mine enemies." Nebuchadnezzar had stress. Daniel 2, verse 1, "The second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him." Daniel himself, when he interpreted the dream, he was troubled. Daniel 4:19. "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him." Jesus, he endured stress. That's the part of his humanity. That's why we preach the hypostatic union, simply meaning he's 100% God, but he was also 100% man. That means he felt the same emotions you and I did. The difference, of course, with Jesus is that he did not sin. And that's why we have what we have today. But Jesus had stress. He knew what was going to happen. Luke 22:44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Let me have you turn to one last passage, and then I'll give you a couple more verses behind that, and then we'll close. Philippians chapter 4, if you will, with me. Philippians chapter 4. So, how can we handle stress? How can we manage it from a biblical perspective? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. In Matthew, it was "take no thought." Here it's "be careful for nothing." Don't be anxious. "But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Jesus Christ. What did he say? And what did Jesus himself say in Matthew 6, verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, for tomorrow is tomorrow, basically. Sufficient is today. Focus on today. Let go and let God. Know that God is in control and he will help you through those stressful moments in life. Four more verses I'll just share with you and then we're going to wrap it up. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Give it all to the Savior. Psalm 119, 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Let thy commandments are my delights. So delight in God's word in times of trouble. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what? Sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So let go and let God. And in the last verse, and I think this one can comfort us quite a bit, Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. We sang, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Who else can heal our soul's diseases? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Know that God is in control. Medically, if stress is an issue and it's affecting you very greatly health-wise, get help because it's going to be harmful if you don't. Spiritually speaking, let the Lord help you through those times of stress and anxiousness. Also, be in fellowship with other people, especially believers. You don't necessarily need to lead the conversation. That can be anxious enough, especially if you're an introverted person. It's like, man, I have to talk with people. Sometimes just be around other people. Let them lead the conversation. And you just pitch in here and there. Believe it or not, I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert. You think, well, you stand up here and preach every single Sunday. Yeah, there's ways I go about to make sure that there's no anxiousness there. One of the methods would be is I'll look at you, but in reality, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the pew behind you, the wooden part. So it looks like I'm looking at you, but I'm really not. That's one way of how I go about with public speaking. So now I know why he strays everywhere. You do not necessarily, again, need to carry the conversation, but just being in the presence of others of like-minded faith and belief and practice, just being around Christians in general, or those who've gone through some of the same things you've gone through, will go a long way to seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Everyone has a story they can share. Because they've been through it. Everyone has a story, probably health-wise, that they've been able to overcome through the Lord's help, and they can share that with someone who's going through that right then and there, or a situation you're going through now. It's always good to be around other people, but seek first the kingdom of God. A biblical response to stress? Seek the Lord. Be faithful with him, and he will help you. He will guide you through. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We're thankful for those who are here. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us now. As we just look and we think about just the things this morning. Father, I know there's probably things that maybe we're anxious of right now. As we are concluding this. And one of the biggest things is just leaving this parking lot. Father, I do pray that you would help us with that and help find a way to make that a little easier to get out. Father, I pray that you would just be with us here with the different things that we have in our day-to-day life that we just don't know about or we haven't told others about, but we're stressing about it, we're anxious about it. But may we just give it to you and seek where we can have someone to help us out. Father, just bless and move in this time of invitation. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if I can just have Miss Chrissy come on up here just for a couple of moments here.